Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, welcome back to the Dan Wootton Interview, the podcast that brings some of the biggest names from around the world straight to your headphones. Now, we're back from a little break, and this week I am delighted to kick back off with the US pop legend, John Legend. I caught up with the 10-time Grammy Award winner during his recent visit to the UK to talk about his family, wife Chrissy, Kanye West, and Donald Trump. Plus, he'll be taking on Shuffle, Delete, Repeat and revealing the 5 songs that mean the most to him. But do remember, if you subscribe now to the podcast, we've got loads more amazing stars, including Camila Cabello, James Corden, Shawn Mendes and Gary Barlow. They're all in the back catalogue. You can listen to them totally free if you just subscribe right now. But let's go in-depth and personal first with John Legend. John Legend, thank you so for joining me on the pod today. It is a pleasure to have you here, back in London, of course, because you are now officially the world's most stylish man, according to GQ magazine.
Yes.
What was it like?
It must be true then.
I mean, because you've won 10 Grammys, an Oscar, a Tony Award, but this is a little bit different, isn't it?
This is different. It is fashion. It's GQ, which is... When you're a kid and you want to talk about someone that's handsomely dressed, you say they look GQ. So it's been synonymous with style, men's style, for a long time. And so to be honored by GQ with this award is pretty cool.
Well, I love your jacket today. Obviously, everyone listening can't hear it, but it's sort of like a velvet turquoise.
It's a suede, turquoise color.
Suede, yes, yeah. That's the word. That shows you how bad I am with style. I would certainly never win that award. And of course, John, congratulations. Potentially, you might add an Emmy to that list because you were nominated for your blow away performance as Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar, which was a musical on American TV. Now, this is my favorite musical of all time. It was an incredible
some great British writers that came up with the incredible musical. Of course, I'm talking about the great Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice.
And did you get to know them?
I got to hang out with them and spend some time with them. Andrew was at a lot of rehearsals. Tim was there for the show, and we all partied together afterwards in celebration of just how happy we were with the show. And it was such an honor to spend some time with them and to know that we put on the best performance that they've ever seen of their own show, according to them, and and to know that they were proud of what we did.
Well, that is a huge honor because there have been some incredible performances of JC over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was obviously at the time when it first launched a very, very controversial musical. I mean, did you ever have any doubts about playing Jesus?
I didn't have doubts about it. I mean, I knew that it would be a challenge as an actor, as a singer, but I wasn't really worried about the controversy of it all. I feel like it's one of the more respected shows of all time and loved of all time. And so I felt like whatever controversy there would be, it would be overwhelmed by the amount of excitement people would have for it.
Now, you're a triple threat now, John, because you have music, film, and TV all going on at the same time.
And I'm a dad.
Yeah, which is, by the way,
quadruple threat.
Quite a big deal. I mean, do you ever worry about, gosh, do I have enough time for the music? Because obviously that is, I presume, your priority still.
Yeah, and it still is. I still spend far more time writing and recording and performing music than I do anything else. It's not even close.
Mm. And I guess all your projects have involved music.
Yeah,
in some
almost
way.
All of my projects have involved music. And even to the extent that they haven't, A lot of the work that I do in TV and film is about collaborating with other great artists, great directors, great writers, great filmmakers. And so the lion's share of my time has still been writing and recording and performing music. And I don't expect that to change anytime. I don't think it'll ever change.
The Five.
So, John, each week I ask my guests about the five songs that mean the most to them, or at least have a special place in their heart. Uh-huh. So it could be like a song that inspired you to write and play music, or one that brings back special memories, or a song you'd love to cover. And so recently, Camila Cabello, she singled out John Mayer as the artist who soothes her pain. Megan Trainor, she chose Earth, Wind & Fire as the band that reminds her of dancing with her dad when she was young. So, John, really keen to hear your five tracks and just a very brief explanation about what they mean to you.
Well, two of them are themed around my two kids. The first one was playing when my daughter was born, a song called Superfly by Curtis Mayfield. That was a song playing when she came out. And the song playing when my son came out was Here Comes the Sun, the Beatles song.
Here comes the sun, little darling.
It was the cover that was done by Nina Simone, who's one of my favorite artists, who's also the namesake for my daughter's middle name. So those two songs both mean a lot to me because they remind me of really important moments in my life as a father, and also happen to be performed by two of my favorite artists, Curtis Mayfield and Nina Simone. I would say Marvin Gaye is one of my favorite artists as well, and there's a whole bunch of songs I love of his, but the one that means the most to me is because it just makes me feel good every time I hear it, and I put it on pretty much every party we have at our house. It's a song called Got to Give It Up. It just instantly puts me in a good mood, and it's another song by one of my favorite artists. I would say Bridge Over Troubled Waters, Simon and Garfunkel's song. I performed that song quite a bit. I sang it in honor of my grandmother on a couple of my tours before. And I also sang it recently in honor of Aretha Franklin because she did an amazing version of that song. And when I hear that song, when I think of that song, not only will I think of the original version, but I'll think of Aretha and how much she's meant to me over the years as a singer. And then I'll say the last song, All of Me.
'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your,
which is my song. And
you've got to include that.
I got to include that.
And you wrote it for your wife?
I wrote it for my wife, and I sang it at our wedding. So I think that's a good one to round out my list of five.
Congratulations is in order. You are now a dad of two.
Thank you.
And little Miles, named after Miles Davis, joined you earlier in the year.
Yes.
How big a deal was it to be a family unit now? Because obviously you've got the sort of perfect two guys, two girls. How's it going?
It's really fun. I think there is a difference between just having the one kid and having two. We absolutely adore Luna, and it's so exciting seeing her grow up. But it's nice to have a fourth person in our family. It just kind of rounds things out in a nice way. And we may have more, but we're really happy with our family as it is right now. And we just can't give him enough love. We just love him so much. And it's really cool to just watch Chrissy as a mother, watch Luna as a big sister, and to get to love all of them with all my heart, you know?
Of course. And I mean, the last time we spoke, obviously you ended up helping so many people, both you and Chrissy, by being so open about her battle with postnatal depression after the birth of Luna. How has it been this time around?
It's been great. I think Chrissy's feeling better than she did after the first baby. It's always a concern when you go through it the first time
that
it might happen again. And we've talked to relatives. Some of them, you know, had it for one of their kids but didn't have it for the other kid. And my grandmother was telling me it was like two of the kids she had it for and then three she didn't. So, you know, you never know how it's going to go. You just have to be prepared for it and know that you can get help and that that your family's there to support you and your friends are there to support you and you can get through anything together.
Now, of course, you guys are known for opening up about your family on social media and sharing things. Now, this one really shocked me, actually, because I couldn't understand why it would spark any outrage. Mm-hmm. But there was a picture posted of Chrissy sort of pumping breast milk from both breasts. And you ended up having to defend her because there was some type of backlash on social media. What do you think that's about?
I think anything you post on Twitter, there's going to be someone that says something, particularly around a sensitive issue like motherhood and breastfeeding. And I think Chrissy has been trying to destigmatize breastfeeding. And I think other moms have been doing the same thing because it's not something they should be ashamed of. It's natural. It's vital for the kid and important for the kid. And there shouldn't be any public shaming of it. And I think Chrissy was making that point. I was happy to support her in making that point.
Because it remains a big debate here, actually, whether you should be able to very openly breastfeed in public places. How do you feel about that?
You should. It's not obscene. It's not overtly sexual. It's a natural thing that you're doing to feed your child. And I think it's a beautiful thing.
I actually totally agree. Mm-hmm. And I think people that get hit up about it really need to take a good look at themselves.
Yeah, and I think you're basically limiting women's freedom because you're making them hide in a corner to do something that's natural and a part of their daily lives as mothers. And women should have the freedom to do what they need to do.
Now, on a much more frivolous note, Chrissy got a lot of attention over here talking about a very extreme TV dating show called Naked Attraction on Channel 4.
And she, as soon as she landed and told people she was landing in London, they were like, it's crazy because you landed on the day that Naked Attraction is a season premiering.
So did you watch it with her, John?
We didn't watch it last night, but I'm sure she'll catch up on it.
I mean, what did you think of it?
We went out to dinner. I watched a piece of it when she told me about it last time we were here. It's you know, it's quite interesting.
Well, it is. I sort of think you don't want to see someone naked before you've been on a date with them, do you?
Yeah.
Sort of the wrong way around.
I think a little mystery is helpful in that situation. Yes. You know, eventually if things go well, you will see all of that. But I think some of the mystery leading up to it is part of what's exciting about dating.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Shuffle, delete, repeat.
Now, John, this is maybe the toughest part of the podcast, because this is when you have to choose between your own songs on shuffle, delete, repeat.
Okay.
So you've got three choices.
Okay.
So first we kick back to 2005 and Ordinary People. No, we're just ordinary people. Then, of course, that song you wrote for Chrissy, All of Me, from 2014, which has been your biggest chart success in the UK to date. Uh-huh. And then 2017, the Beauty and the Beast duet with Ariana Grande. Beauty and the Beast. John, which would you shuffle, which means sort of you like it but you'll come back to it, which would you delete and which would you put on repeat?
I'll probably shuffle All of Me because I've heard it a billion times. I will delete Beauty and the Beast only because that's the only one I didn't write. And, you know, I can get rid of that, even though I love duetting with Ariana and she's outstanding. I really like her new album, too. And then I'll repeat Ordinary People because while it was popular, you know, I haven't gotten as tired of it as All of Me.
Very good choices. Now, of course, last time we spoke, it was early 2017. Donald Trump was just in the White House, and you predicted in the interview with me that you were very, very confident that he would be impeached. Now, of course, John, that prediction seems to become potentially more and more likely by the day. Do you still feel that way?
Well, I think it all depends on the makeup of the legislature, because they are the ones who decide on impeaching. Mm. And then if they impeach him, that's only the first step to impeach someone, is just to basically indict them. And then that trial goes to the Senate, and the Senate has to vote 2/3, I believe, to remove him or her based on that indictment. And so there's a lot of steps that have to go into that. But I think if we elect a Democratic House in November, then I think Trump will get impeached. He's done enough to get impeached. He's done enough to embarrass the nation and to use the office to enrich himself and to abuse his power, that he should not be president anymore if there's any justice. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, because it's a political process and legislators have to vote for it. But he deserves to be removed from office. I believe he's committed crimes that that rise to the level of being removed from office. And then we'll see how it plays out. But he's a terrible person and a terrible president.
And of course, you have been drawn into this very publicly by your, I guess, your close friend. I guess, would you still describe him that way? Kanye West. And the thing that was particularly egregious, John, is when, and I just know that if one of my friends did this to me, I would be raging. He publicly shared private text messages between the two of you. What was your reaction when he did that?
I was stunned when he posted the text, but then my other side of me was like, well, I'm glad I said what I said. And I'm glad people know what I said to him, because I think so many people were worried, you know, that Kanye was saying the things he was saying and that there weren't people advising him differently. And so part of me was happy that people saw that I was telling him the truth and telling him how I felt. And I was proud of everything I said to him. So I was shocked that he posted it, but I was proud of everything I said and stand behind everything I said 100%.
Now, you did reunite with him at a baby shower with Chrissy a few weeks later.
Yeah.
What did you say to him?
We talked about the things that we had texted about, and you know, I'll let our conversations be private, but I feel like we both kind of reiterated a lot of things that we've said in public, and we don't agree on everything, obviously, but I told him how I felt.
Because obviously the big debate is whether Donald Trump has been a good president for African Americans.
No, it's not really a debate. His approval among African Americans is like 3%. So if that's a debate, then I don't know what is a debate. I think it's pretty overwhelming as from the perspective of African Americans. We believe he's a racist. We believe he's not a good human being, and anybody who's studied the economic trends knows that unemployment started going down rapidly under Obama, and that trend has continued under Trump, but it's nothing he did as a policymaker that sent unemployment on this downward trend. It's what Obama did and the Congress and the Federal Reserve did back when we were in financial crisis.
Now, I know this sounds like a far-out question, right? But do you think there is any chance of Kanye considering running for president in 2020?
Oh, yeah. I think he said it multiple times. That.
And you think he's serious about it?
Yeah, I think he's serious, yeah.
And he would run as a Republican?
I don't know how he'd run. He'd probably, if I were to guess, I'd think he'd run as an independent. But he's never told me anything about what party he would run from. But he's publicly said multiple times that he's interested in running for president.
Do you think
it'd be? I think that's part of why he likes Trump, is because I think he sees some aspects of himself in Trump and sees that Trump winning makes it feel like he could do it too.
Could you see yourself or Chrissy ever getting more involved in politics in the future? Because obviously you are
We're extremely involved in politics. We donate to candidates. We speak out about issues that we care about. And I don't see either of us running for office. But I definitely think we'll stay involved and stay engaged. And I think really every citizen should have some level of engagement with politics and a democracy, because we're all voters, we're all taxpayers, we're all... We all have a stake in what happens.
Firsts. Your first concert.
The first one I attended, I think, was the Winans, which is a family of gospel singers. I went to that in Ohio, in my hometown, when I was pretty young. Yeah, I was probably like 10 or 11.
Your first job.
My first job was at a music store called Kincaid's. And it was, they sell pianos, guitars, string instruments.
That was perfect for you, actually.
Perfect. And I was working for the repair guy. I was his assistant. So I would just like clean instruments for him and like tune the violins. And
well, it probably gave you a great understanding.
Polish the trumpet slides.
Excellent. And the first person you talked to today?
First person I talked to today was my wife. She's here in London with me. And I talk to my wife when I wake up.
Well, that's good. Probably, other than Trump, the biggest international story of the year was an American, an American divorcee with a mixed race background joining the British royal family. I'm, of course, talking about Meghan Markle and her wedding to Prince Harry. Mm-hmm. How significant do you think that was for race relations around the world?
Well, I don't know how significant it will be for race relations, but I do think I think it's kind of an expansion of what it means to be royalty, an expansion which I think is in a positive direction, where it's saying this is something that is not exclusive to a small sub segment of the world. It's something that is even more open. But, you know, obviously the monarchy in itself is almost by definition exclusive and elitist as a construct. But the fact that it was opened up a little bit to someone that didn't look or come from the same background as many people who've held that position before, I think is an expansion in a way.
Now, Meghan's obviously had a very tough time over the past few weeks with her family, particularly the American side of the family, on her dad's side, sort of selling stories to the press and giving numerous interviews. And it really struck me, actually, a tweet that you sent about this, where you were very, very sympathetic. And you said, look, actually, this happened to me too. One of my cousins once tried to auction off a dinner with yourself. So do you have sympathy for Meghan on a personal level?
Well, I think everybody's got family members that they wish would keep quiet. particularly if you come from a pretty humble background, you don't grow up expecting to be famous and to be held accountable for every family member that you have. And you know, you can't control all their actions, and sometimes they might embarrass you. And who among us doesn't have family members that might embarrass us?
So how did you deal with that, though? When a member of family does that, what do you do?
I shut it down and then told her, you can't do that. But you just have to deal with it sometimes. Everybody's got family members that can embarrass them.
The last present you were given.
Well, I'm here for the GQ UK Man of the Year Awards, and GQ gave us some champagne bottles when we arrived. So that was the last gift.
The last time you cooked for people?
Last time I cooked for people was Monday, which is Labor Day in the US, and we had a little football party because we do this whole fantasy football draft thing, and we had a party that we hosted, and I fried some chicken.
So when you say football, you mean NFL?
American football, yes.
Got
NFL,
it.
NFL, yes.
And the last time you used public transport. Now, I obviously by that, John, do not mean a private jet. You know, I'm talking the tube, a bus, a train. that sort of thing.
Oh my God, it's been a long time. Does an airport shuttle count?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay, I've done that a few times in the last year or so.
Now, we mentioned the time for music earlier in the podcast. Tell me where you're at in terms of the next album.
Well, we have a Christmas album that's coming out.
Oh, wow.
In this season. And I've been recording that all summer, and I'm so excited.
And so how weird is that to get your head around? Because this is what people don't understand. Christmas albums are all recorded in the middle of summer because yeah. that's the amount of time that's needed.
Well, it's interesting because you could do it the previous Christmas, but no one ever gets around to it by then. And
no one's that organized.
And no one's that organized. So usually the deadline is like you have to get it done by the early fall or late summer. And so people end up recording the music over the summer. And I was not only recording over the summer, but I was recording it in Los Angeles, which doesn't even really have a real winter.
No, definitely not.
And in July and August, it was like 100 degrees some of the time in LA. So, we had to hang up some Christmas lights. And in the studio, it's, you know, excluded from the outside world. There's no windows or anything. So you can kind of imagine yourself in the winter if you put enough Christmas lights up and try to suspend your disbelief for long enough. And it was cool, though, because it put me in a good mood all summer. I was just humming yeah. Christmas songs all summer. And that kind of brightened my mood.
And do you have original John Legend?
Yeah, Christmas we're going to have some too? Covers. And like, I think the balance will be about 60% covers and 40% or so original songs, or 65, 35, something like that. So we wanted that familiarity of the songs we all grew up listening to, but we wanted to create some new classics too.
What's your favorite Christmas carol?
Oh, I love Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I love singing that. There's a lot of songs I love to listen to, but Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I love singing that one. It just feels nice.
And you're now an executive producer extraordinaire on a number of TV shows, mm-hmm. but there was one in particular mm-hmm. that has really excited me, the mm-hmm. idea of it. I don't know what stage it's at or anything mm-hmm. like that, but I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, John, it's called Fame Whore. And the description about it is it was said that it was about gold-digging mums in Hollywood.
Oh, well, we did have a show that we were developing called Fame Whore that didn't work out. I don't know if that log line is exactly accurate, but it didn't work out. That's the thing when you develop TV yeah. shows, so many of them don't even get to pilot, and then the ones that even get to pilot don't even get to air a lot of times. So, you know, it's a process. So anything you've heard that we're producing, sometimes you'll just never see it, and sometimes you will.
So is your big passion project then Underground, which is about the plantation slaves?
Yeah, so that one was something we were so proud of, and that made it to air, and we had two incredible seasons, critically acclaimed, highly rated seasons. And then the network that we were airing the show on was bought by another entity and changed their programming completely, so we kind of lost that one. But a lot of people have been able to see it on like Hulu and Netflix over different territories, and people really love the show, and I was so proud of it. I had a lot to do with the music of the show, and we're all really proud of the team that we assembled and the great actors, and we're sad that the show had to end.
And it's so interesting because it's like you almost have to be as much of a businessman or mm-hmm. woman as you have to be a creative these days. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think you always had to. I think James Brown and yeah. Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles and artists like that back in the day, they took a lot of interest in their own business as well because, you know, they wanted to make sure they weren't being cheated. They wanted to make sure they were getting what they were worth. I don't think that's changed. I think the art is the most important thing. I think the creativity is the most important thing, but you have to make sure that everything adds up too.
Absolutely. And so where would you say for you, if you had to put like a percentage mm-hmm. divide on it, is it 50-50 these days?
No.
Or do you get to spend more time being creative?
I spend most of my time being creative. It's not even close. But that's why you hire good people. You hire good managers, publicists, work with a good record label, and you expect them to be experts at what they do. And then my principal job is to create content, and then their job is to help me market it and distribute it to the world.
Absolutely. Well, we live in fascinating times, don't we, John?
Yes, we do.
And it has been such a pleasure to have you here
the
pod.
My pleasure.
The most stylish man in the world, officially.
Yes.
John Legend.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. What an amazing guest for our first week back. Thank you, John Legend. Now, of course, just before our little summer hiatus, Kylie Minogue was back on the pod for the second time this year, but so much had changed in her life. Obviously, she's got a new man. She's very happy, and I had so much from you on that. Although, Anne Carroll, she was a bit tough. She actually said, I would love to see Kylie go for a nice older guy. Not all older men have lost their looks and are overweight, but she continuously goes for the wrong type. She never learns by her mistakes. An older guy would treat her with respect, he wouldn't cheat on her, and would treat her like a princess. But everyone else disagreed with Anne. Malin on Twitter said, Kylie's so lovely, down to earth, kind, humble, literally an angel. And Stephen Lowowski said, just an amazing, honest, beautiful woman. How can you not love her and her sense of spirit and soul? And I have to say, Kylie was in one of the best places I've seen her. Obviously, I've been interviewing her now for over a decade. So it's a really good interview. Listen back. And also, we've got all of our back catalogue there. Loads of other big stars. James Corden is there, Sam Smith, Ed Sheeran. You just need to subscribe to the Dan Wooten interview. And that also means that when our next interview is uploaded, you will get it immediately to wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. So it has been such a pleasure to have you with us today. Please do send me your feedback on what you thought of that John Legend chat. Would love to hear from you on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Just search for me at Dan Wooten, W-O-O-T-T-O-N. And we'll be back with another big name opening up very, very soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.